And the one is Psalm 93, which is the primary text tonight. But I want us also to read Psalm 93. I want us also to read some verses from Galatians chapter 5 and 1 John chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and 1 John chapter 5. Psalm 93, verse 1, and this psalm is just five verses long. We're going to read all five verses. Psalm 93, 1, the Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty, the Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. And this psalm is about the might, the power, the majesty of God. And then it speaks almost, it could almost seem like it's out of context, with his holiness. Thy holiness becometh thine house. But it's not out of context. It's about who God is, and the holiness of God is very important to God. Now turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read verse 3 through 7. Galatians 5:3 says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." And we've explained that terminology. It's a terminology that is misused and misinterpreted by a lot of folks. You're fallen from grace. And the whole context is, if you insist on being judged by the law, then grace can't apply to you. He's not talking about a person losing their salvation because they don't live a certain way. He's saying if you insist on living according to the law, grace can't apply to you. Verse 5 says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Verse 7 says, "Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" And then in 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read just one verse, 1 John 5 verse 3, which says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." And you'll recall in Psalm 93, we read about how holiness becometh God's house. And then we read in Galatians chapter 5 that faith works by love. And in 1 John 5, 3, God's commandments are 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, yes, his commandments are not grievous. Why do we do what we do? Why do we stand where we stand? And I know that Bible Baptist Church is unique in many ways. And one of the ways that we're unique is that the people who come here are serious about serving God, about honoring the Lord, and I appreciate that deeply. I really do. I'm also aware of the fact that the people who attend this church, who are members here especially, are people who are serious about biblical commands, and they give very, very strong credence to what the Word of God teaches. Why do we do that? Well, the Bible says faith works by love, and God's commandments are not grievous. And I want us to talk a little bit tonight about the fact that holiness becometh thine house, according to Psalm 93, verse 5, holiness in God's house. Our homes are a reflection of us, and a neat, well-kept house usually reflects a neat and well-kept person, a person who is disciplined, a person who is focused. and who is all together, as it were. And they keep their home neat and clean, and they keep things organized in their house because they are that kind of a person. And whether tastes are contemporary or colonial or art deco or whatever, just relax. It doesn't matter, as long as it's comfortable to some people. And they're very much into just relaxing and not getting too uptight about the way things look or appear. And organization. I've been in people's homes where they had one room in their house that was just the junk room, and things stayed piled up there, and that's where everything found its place if it didn't have any place else to go. And that kind of disorganization is troubling. Sometimes people's laundry room looks that way. You know, there are weeks and weeks and weeks of laundry piled beside the washing machine, and somebody has to go do laundry because they can't find the clothes that they want to wear that day. That's troubling. And that speaks of a poor focus. It speaks of a life in some ways that's out of control. And a household should be kept properly, and a household should be operated with some form of order. But God's dwelling place is a reflection too. God's dwelling place is a reflection of Him. And His commandments are not grievous. And if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. And faith works by love. Why do we do what we do? Why do we keep certain standards in our life? Why do we live a certain way? It's because of a love for Christ. It's because of the fact that we want Him to be properly represented in the world around us, in the life of our church, and that should work its way out. Some people get weary with standards, and they don't want to be a part of anything where standards are too much of an issue. But the fact of the matter is, holiness becomes God's house. And heaven is a place where holiness prevails. It is. And we think of heaven as being the first and foremost abode of God. Heaven is a place where holiness prevails. Look with me in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 28. And we'll look at a few principles here relative to the importance of holiness. It becometh God's house. It is what His house should be. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11. Ezekiel 28, 11 says this: Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Skip down to verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. What's the point of all that? Well, Lucifer and Satan had to leave his exalted position. Lucifer, who became known as Satan, was forced out, was cast out of his exalted position because heaven is a place where holiness prevails. There's no sin allowed in heaven. And we could read in Isaiah chapter 14 about the five I wills of Satan. Look at also Revelation chapter 21. Heaven is a perfect and a glorious place. It's a place where holiness prevails. In Revelation 21:1, the Bible says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 23 says, And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The point I'm making here is that heaven is a perfect place, and the regenerated heart is a place where holiness is also expected. God expects holiness to prevail in heaven. And aren't you glad? That's one of the things we rejoice about. In the expectation of heaven, that it's a perfect place and there won't be any sin there. There won't be any wickedness there. There won't be anything that will defile or cause a lie. There can not enter into heaven anything that defiles or makes a lie. And that's one of the attractive things about heaven. But do you know what? God wants holiness to prevail in various places on this earth too. Not only should holiness prevail in heaven, but every regenerate heart is a place where holiness is expected. It's the plan of God that every saved person be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6 teaches that God's people should have as their focus to perfect holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." The direction of the life of a child of God is to be upward and onward for Christ. God wants his people to be properly representing holiness. And that means a lot of things. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about God being holy and the fact that God wants his, he commands, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." God wants people to live a holy life. And how is holiness seen? It's seen in the way we live and the way we conduct ourselves. It's seen in the entertainments that we embrace. It's seen in the styles and fashions that we subscribe to. The direction of the life of the child of God is to be upward, is to be onward for Christ in his image, for his glory. And the heart that continually and honestly seeks God will be revealed in a holy life, not somebody who's looking for ways to rub out the lines, not in somebody who's trying to fudge a little bit and get as close to the world as they can without actually crossing that line. That's not characteristic of a saved person, a person who wants to please the Lord with holy living. And remember, holiness becometh thine house, and the regenerate heart is a place where holiness is expected. God wants his people to live that way. The Bible says changes happen when a person is saved. And there are certain things that are characteristic of the flesh. The carnal mind is enmity against God, the Bible says. There are certain things that are contrary to the way God would have us to live. And changes happen when a person comes to Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible describes that there were people in the church at Corinth that they dramatically changed after they were saved. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And so the change occurs when a person becomes saved and God, the Spirit, turns the spotlight on and enumerates their sins and changes them and forgives them. And then comes holiness. Some have drawn the parallel between Israel's life in Egypt and their deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? The Passover. And then they went and they saw the mighty works of God, and it wasn't long before they got to Mount Sinai, where God began to show them what his expectations were, and they would not trust him, and so they ended up spending 40 long years in the wilderness until they were able to come to the place of faith and cross over into the promised land and accept what God had always intended for them in the first place. This is critically important, and God desires his people. I think it's interesting that one of the first things that God did after he brought them out of Egypt, out of sin, out of the world, was to establish who he was and establish the Ten Commandments with those people and say, there are certain ways I want you to live and there are certain ways I want you not to live. And in many cases, the person who chose not to live as God had commanded was stoned to death. It was very important to God. And the people of God who were supposed to be his showcase people, the people that reflected his holiness in this world, failed in that area. And so they went into captivity and they lost their place. Isaiah chapter 65 speaks of how he would call his servants by a different name. And the Lord has his servants today, but he wants them to live a holy life. Holiness becometh thine house, and the house of God as well today must maintain its holiness. Why did the Jews often experience plagues and heathen oppression and captivity and other forms of chastisement? Well, they were God's house in that time, but they were not giving themselves to producing holiness. And so the Lord worked to defeat them, to try to produce that in them. And it's so important that the Lord's churches be clean today, because so many churches are not the Lord's churches. So many churches don't even focus in the Bible, don't even preach the gospel, don't even have a regenerate church membership. And so the holiness of God can't possibly be there. And then we've got saints who are members of scriptural churches who seem not to care about holy living. It's a shame. It's a shame. And whether we're talking about our language, whether we're talking about our entertainment choices, whether we're talking about our lifestyle decisions, whether we're talking about our dress standards, whether we're talking about men in skinny jeans that are an abomination to manhood, by the way, or women in cute little short skirts, and it's okay because they've got tights on. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. God's people should be distinctive. God's people should be clearly who they are, so the world can see who they are and what they are. And holiness becometh thine house. Holiness belongs in the house of God. Holiness belongs in the lives of God's people. Holiness belongs in the church of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" I commented recently how much I appreciate my wife, who takes it upon herself to remind some of you ladies of your dress. Sometimes it gets a little too clingy. Sometimes it gets a little too low. Sometimes it gets a little too high in the hemline. Sometimes it gets a little too tight, you know? And my wife does that, so I don't have to stand and talk to you about such things. Holiness becometh the house of God. Holiness becometh the people of God. And I know sometimes people don't like those standards, and sometimes people say, oh, that's just too restrictive. But God's people need to stand for something. God's people need to to enforce and reinforce holiness in the house of God. Heaven is a place where holiness prevails, and the regenerated heart is a place where holiness is expected. And the church, the house of God, needs to work to maintain its holiness for the sake of others who will see. I said a few minutes ago, listen, we've got a whole lot of things that are very, very important. And we need to be careful that we're not excusing ourselves from things that are important. Just because, oh, I don't like that, or that doesn't appeal to me very much. We need to be very careful that we are standing for the things that are important, because it is a matter of demonstrating holiness in the life of a believer. And his commandments are not grievous, and faith works by love. And we say, I do this because I love the Lord. I do this. I live this. I live a certain way. I conduct myself in a certain way because I love the Lord. It's not a grievous commandment to me. It's not something that is overly burdensome to me because of love for Christ. And may God help us to be pure and clean and represent him accurately in our world. It doesn't matter. I've always said this. You know, when fashions and fads come out, usually it's the last thing. You know, I wait for 5 or 6 or 8 years when a new fashion comes out for men, because before I will start going that direction, if it's not immodest or immoral or worldly, because I don't want to be the trendy type. I don't want to be that sort. And God's people should not look frumpy. You know what I'm talking about. But God's people should be careful that they're not trying to be on the cutting edge of fashion, the fashion industry in our world. Because typically it's not a good direction. It's not the way we ought to go. God wants his people to live a holy life, and God wants his people to properly represent the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that really despises him, that hates him. That's so restrictive. I've had people tell me this for years. Oh, you're a Baptist. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I always say, no, that's not it at all. I want to live a life that honors the Lord and is pleasing to the Lord. And I believe all of God's people should feel the same way. I want to be separated unto Christ. Even if somebody doesn't like it, even if somebody thinks it's old-fashioned or out of date or out of style, I want to be what the Lord wants me to be because I love him. Faith works by love, and his commandments are not grievous. Examine yourself. Examine your wardrobe. Examine your habits of life. Examine your entertainment forms and be willing to say, okay, is this what it ought to be? And clean up your act if it's not what it ought to be. Maybe you ought to get rid of some stuff. God's people sometimes need to do that. We need to do an old-fashioned house cleaning and get rid of some stuff that doesn't belong there and is not a good testimony, and does not properly portray holiness in the lives of God's people. We don't do this because it'll help us gain some kind of honor or some kind of recognition by God. We live the way we live because we love him and we want him to be glorified in our life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help